Hello and welcome to ABW Radio. As we kick off, Jason Schrader's bloody radio goes off. What do you expect in a day like this?
I mean, I'm bottling it like a back three here.
Okay, I know the feeling, mate. Well, you know, not being funny, guys. I've not got my. We don't want to be here today. What a shower of shite! Welcome to ABW Radio. We have Matthew Wright and 235100 Loki. Boy Ten Dio, Timmy Toby, Jelanio, Emma 23, Nico, Alonzo Spencer, Thierry Ronry, Jack Bradley, Norma Otts, Daniel Cronin, Kyle Palmer, Ryan Cost, Sidu 7549, Usama Zaka, Lossler, Stephen Edwards. If I've missed anybody, no nickname requireds in there, Varun's in there, Lee Tatlock's in there, formerly Noza, Josh Gunner Forever, hello, oh, David Lancaster's in there, hello David Lancaster, Scott Ney is in there, Dean Robinson 1983, hello all, bet you're a bit hap, Ashley Morris is there, Bilal's there, God Emperor Trump is there, God Emperor Trump, the hell's going on here? Okay, God Emperor Trump, I don't like your name. Okay, so careful, you could get banned. Let's be fair. Ty O'Delly's in there. Benny Ogden's in there. Dean Robinson, 1983. Long Blake Road. Hello, all. Yeah, welcome to ABW Radio, the Bournemouth game. Say hello, Shreds.
Hello, Shreds.
I'm joined also by Ellis Mel. Hello, Ellis.
Hello. I did resist the temptation to have a bath or a microwave or a toaster or whatnot, but I'm here. I'm ready to be happy. Not convincing, is it really?
Convincing as our defending. Okay, let's go straight into it. Playing Bournemouth away today. Last season we drew 3-3 there. We were 3-0 down at one point. You shouldn't have predicted a 4-0 win. Lineups, Shreds. No Ozil, no Sanchez, Jack back after the injury scare against Chelsea. What did you make of it all?
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty standard lineup for what the players we had available and, you know, what we had. It would have been nice to see Ozil come back in, but supposedly he's still, air quotes, injured. I hope that's a real thing. And obviously, like, Sanchez is just the Sanchez thing. I don't care about that anymore. But yeah, no, the lineup was what I expected. And you just sort of so similar to the ones in the past. You just hope that they would go out there and put a performance in today. So yeah, nothing out of the ordinary. Nothing shocked me. Glad to see Jack was back. Cause I, you know, as poorly as we have been playing, I do think he's been our probably best player the last few games. So it was nice to see him in there again after the injury scare. Cause I think we all still have a little PTSD anytime he goes down and we automatically assume the worst. So glad to see him back in the starting lineup so quickly, but no surprises was what we thought it was going to be. So.
Right. Ellis, no Sanchez talk is that he was left at home by, Arsene Wenger said he left him at home because he couldn't get a straight answer out of him as to his future, etc. You know, this saga is just a drain on the club at the moment. What did you make of it?
Yeah, I wasn't surprised that he wasn't in the squad. Obviously, some pictures of him training, but there's so much sort of speculation going on between whether he's going to Man City or Manchester. But we just need to get him out of the club, really. He doesn't want to be here. That's quite clear. The discussions are coming out in the newspapers from the clubs he's probably had long before this window. They've obviously just started to heat up a bit more now the window's open. It's just a case of, like you say, he's a drain on the squad, on the club, on the fans. It's just time for this saga to end, really. Whether he goes for a free in the summer, I'd much rather him just go now and just end it and we don't have to worry about it. We can just move on. Like, it is worrying because we were playing poor last season and Sanchez managed to sort of drag us through some of those games, but he's not doing that for us this season anyway. He's obviously lost it. He doesn't want to be here. He wants to go elsewhere. So we should just all move on. Part ways of him. It's best for us. It's best for him. It's best for the club. It's just needs to end. Whether it's going to drag on to the end of this window, I don't know. I just hope it doesn't. obviously we've probably got our preferred destinations where we'd like him to go. But for me, it's just gotten to the point where I just want him to go full stop. He doesn't want to be here. Just get rid of him.
Okay. Right, game started. Bournemouth were on top for the first for the opening salvos, Jay. We had a great break from Jack. Ainsley Maitland-Niles, decent effort, which hit the crossbar from a good Lacazette into play. Iwobi had a decent effort. You know, it was a really scrappy start to the game, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, I think it was a good start to the game. I thought we showed some life and you know, showed a little bit of a bite, and obviously it was nice, you know, Ainsley Maitland-Niles with some good ball work with a couple of defenders to beat them and then go up against, you know, ended up hitting the woodwork there. So it was a good opening little bit. We were definitely a team that was on the front foot for, you know, a large portion of the first half, especially early on. And it's just sort of the same old Arsenal, you know. You get some great chances and you don't put them away. And you know, early in the game, I predicted a 2-0 win. I still thought it was going to be scrappy, but yeah, I thought we especially came out of the blocks looking like we were sort of up for it. You know, obviously, I think with, you know, Maitland-Niles, as good as that little chance was that he created, I still think he's a little sloppy in possession at times. He had a couple of lazy passes that ended up not hurting us as much today as they have in the past. But you know, you're going to get that with a young player, and he's going to have to learn. And you know, I think he's still what, like 19, maybe in 20, 21 at the oldest. So really good. But no, I think, you know, I think Jack was probably our best player on the day, and I think we saw that in the first half. I think he had
to be honest, mate, I'm sick and tired of hearing so-and-so's our best player when we lose so badly. You know, I got to be honest with you.
Yeah, but Jason, all that is is just subjectivity, and I get it because we're fans. But like, we still got to give credit where credit's due to individuals when they play. I'm not saying Jack was pulling up trees and put the team on his back. I'm not saying that at all. But I think out of the players that you have, I'm trying to find some bright spots here. This, you know,
he was the best player in the park for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's we just because we lost doesn't mean we can't acknowledge that. I mean, it's easy to go down that rabbit hole of negativity and everything, but he was, and he had some really good play in the first half, especially. I think he fell off a little bit in the second half, but in the first half, especially, he was picking up the ball, picking up his head, finding the players in the right positions. And, you know, I think a lot of people, especially the first half, you could really see that Lacazette was getting a little frustrated because he's just the guy, we're not playing to his strengths. He's not getting good service with the ball, and he's getting frustrated. And I think that's one of our biggest issues is, love Jack to death, but this is the least creative team that we've ever had since I've been watching the Arsenal for almost a decade now. And even if you were to bring Jack and Ozil into the team, it's still the least creative team that we've ever had at the Arsenal in the last decade. So I think that's where a lot of our frustrations come from. And I think Jack played well today, but every player out there left a lot to be desired. But in the first half, I think we actually showed a little bit of creativity, more so than we did obviously in the second half, especially later in the game when it really, you know, got that goal in our heads hung. But early in the game, you thought we were up for it.
Yeah. Is it me, Ellis, or, you know, in the opening sort of 15, 20 minutes, we had a lot of players pushed over and no fouls given. You know, The one that got me was Callum Wilson barged into Cech, puts a ball in the back of the net because Cech drops a ball because of it, and there's no yellow card.
Yeah.
There was another challenge on Iwobi from behind, pushed over, no attempt to win the ball, picks up the ball afterwards, let play go on.
Yeah, there was a lot of that. I didn't really notice it massively until I think it might have been Cook, and that may have been by the second half that I noticed that, and he sort of elbowed Welbeck off the ball. I think Lacazette had played like a ball that Welbeck wasn't really going to get onto, but still an elbow to the face is an elbow to the face regardless of where you are on the pitch and what's happening. And then he got away with a stamp on Hector Bellerin, and he wasn't the only one. Like you said, you pointed out two chances there as well, where players just seem to be getting away with like little pushes, little niggles here and there, leaving a foot in. And it is annoying and frustrating, but I don't think if we'd played a bit better, we may not have noticed it as much. I think when you perform as bad as we have been in the last X amount of games, you do start to pick up on these things a bit more, because that is all you can really clutch on to, because we can't really do anything to do with our performance because we're not playing well enough. And it also highlights it more, because when we're playing bad and we're not scoring goals and decisions also go against us, it's like a double hit, really. Like, it's just poor, isn't it? And it makes you even more frustrated. Perhaps if we played well, we wouldn't even be mentioning this point now. But yeah, I did notice it, and it is frustrating, but how can you really get away with it? I suppose I'm probably one to say that I wish our players were a bit more dirty and a bit more like that and were better at the dark arts, because we don't really seem to be like that.
No, he did even it out with the yellow card on Gosling, mind you, which I thought, you know. Whoa, dude, you know, that's no dive, mate. That's no dive.
No, not at all.
You know, it was ridiculous. The game was really scrappy first half, Jace. We had Welbeck was through on goal. You know, I don't think it was a bad challenge. I mean, it was just coming together. You had Lacazette not finishing off the follow up. Then we had a corner where Mustafi's clearly been pushed over by Cook. Not even any talk. You know, Alan Smith mentioned it in commentary. Nothing doing with that. It goes down the other end. Elbows the ball. It's a clear handball. Two clear penalties. Not given. You know, the standard of refereeing, and you know, he was poor for both sides. He was poor for both sides. Yeah. Let's be honest. The standard of refereeing today and the scrappy game, it was like a, you know, that ever decreasing circle of negativity, wasn't it?
Yeah. No. It's one of those things, and I'm always sort of caught up between whether it, you know, I feel like we should be better than to have to rely on refereeing or getting a call or not getting a call or something like that. I mean, you'd hope that, you know, Arsenal is the money that we have the players who can go out and put in the performances where refereeing doesn't matter. Unfortunately, we're not seeing that this season. The refereeing does matter. You're right. The standard of it's gone down, whether it's these, you know, professional referees that's all they do. You know, I don't know, but the standard's absolutely atrocious. You know, I hate just banging on about something that the team can't necessarily control. But at the same time, you have players, and this is not, obviously today's not the first game, but you have teams that will systematically go through and foul the same players of us, and referees just don't care. Referees will not protect Arsenal players, specifically players like Jack and Rambo. They just let get hacked to death all up and down the midfield, and other teams know that they can, you know, do a little structural change against us and have people get in there and get two or three fouls, and they'll rotate, or, you know, two or three kicks in or two or three fouls, rotate them into a different sort of position on the pitch and mark somebody else, and then have somebody else come in and foul these guys. And there's absolutely no protection that we're getting from referees these days on our players. And, you know, as much as people don't want to say that, you know, VAR, it's a good thing, it's a bad thing, there are going to be ups and downs to it, no matter what we bring in to change this. But something definitely has to change with the refereeing, because it's just not, it's not up to the level of play that the players are using. And we got to figure out a way to allow referees to do their job confidently. Cause I think that's the thing, is they're just not confident in what they do. So they don't know what to give and when to give it. And, give something that gives them another resource and tool to get calls right, and see if we can't get this better, because it's definitely becoming frustrating. And I just feel like the fact that Arsenal isn't good enough to overcome those is really tough.
Yeah. But those are the two penalty decisions first half. They're covered off. Ellis, you know, the first half, I mean, Jesus wept. I've seen us play badly before, but you know, there was no rhythm. There seems to be a disconnect between the defence, between the midfield and the attack. There's nothing there you could turn around and say, we were good in any area of the game, was there?
No, not at all. I think Lacazette was very isolated in not just the first half, but the whole game, really. And like you say, I think that comes down to the fact that there was no sort of cohesion in midfield. Jason's obviously pointed out the fact that Jack played quite well. He did. He retained the ball well, and he was one of the only players that were quite calm and composed and made the right decisions. But from back to front, it was poor. The two guys, Holden and Chambers, looked a bit shaky, and they were sort of playing passes that put other players in danger, and then it makes that player sort of rushes past and put the other player in danger and turn the ball over. And it was just, it was really hard to build any sort of attacking momentum. One from the back, you can't really build. We know Jack's strengths. He is quite good at ball distribution, but he didn't really have many options when he did pick up the ball. Or like I said, he'd receive the ball from a sort of rushed, hurried defender that was belling a poor pass. And Iwobi, for me, again, like he has got a bit better, but his passing can be poor. Like from when we scored our goal, you can see the best of a way we can make that pass, but conversely he cannot. He can completely balls it up, or he can just make the complete wrong decision. He slows down the play a bit too much, yeah. And then you lose the ball, and it's just, it's really hard to create any attacking momentum from that.
I'm going to stick on this now, because we had Iwobi one side who lacked a bit of movement. I thought he was brighter today than he has been for a while. You see that when we led to the goal, Jace, it was the first time he gave a first-time ball, and it was bang, crisp. Set Hector off. Everything else, he stood back to play, not making runs. You've got Hyde, who's always, you know, sort of trying to make a run, but who hasn't got Iwobi's technical ability. But we don't seem to get up to support Lacazette at all, do we? We're not working. You know, these three guys are not working as a team, and you know, we don't have a clear pattern of play to us, which we're sort of Jack know, right, if I'm going to play this ball down this channel, so-and-so will be onto it, and I need to come here for a return ball, so to speak. There's nothing like that there, is there?
No, it's not. And it's really sort of frustrating. I always talk about when we play in these like sort of smaller cup competitions about, you know, you sort of expect that with players that don't get as much training time together. But this team has had training time together. This has been sort of the league first 11 here for a few weeks now, and they should know where they're going to be and where to be on the pitch. And I don't know whether it's coaching or players' intelligence. I will be honest. I don't think Iwobi's got the best decision making and positional awareness. And I think part of that's probably down to his youth.
Is part of that down to coaching? Is part of that down to coaching?
Yeah. Well, you have to say that it is. I mean, because I think there are younger players at other clubs that are maybe his age and been playing as long, and I think that they're probably positioning's a little bit better. But I'm not going to say that it's yes, coaching's a part of it. Yes, the players are part of it.
I think it's a big mixture of both.
Yeah. Like, it's got to be a little bit of everything.
You know, like we've always spoke about Wenger sort of saying he wants his players to go out and express themselves and sort of work it out themselves. And I think the players that he's bought, or the players we've got at our disposal, aren't good at doing that. So they're not receiving the coaching, but they're not good at expressing themselves and making the right decision anyway. So you've got that big mixture, and it doesn't obviously boil down to a good result.
Yeah, it seems as though, you know, you look at the talent we have available, and you look at Alex Iwobi, and there's no denying the talent, but it seems to be, you know, he's consistently getting selected after poor performances, and yet, you know, there doesn't seem to be any help for him. There doesn't seem to be somebody taking him to one side and saying, look, Alex, you know, we want you to do this at certain points in the game. Or, you know, if the ball's in position A, you know, with player A in this position, we need you, you know, get on your bike, get that, you know, get into some space and what have you.
Really, that boils down to coaching, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, this is the point. But this is the point. So clearly, he's doing what he's been asked to do by the coaching team. And yet we see this being ineffective week in, week out, and nothing changes. And, you know, the disconnect between the midfield and our attack, you know, and trying to get up to support Lacazette is horrendous.
It's not just him, though. Like, I think you need to point that out. We all sort of criticise Iwobi, but it is endemic of the whole team. There is no cohesion anywhere.
Sanchez was one of the worst offenders of that, dropping so deep to receive the ball, and then nobody's up top whenever we need somebody there. So it's not just Iwobi, and I think maybe that's the bigger issue, is beat a dead horse here. Santi Cazorla was that link. He helped provide that. He received the ball.
Santi Cazorla's never going to play again.
I'm not saying he is. I'm just trying to use this as an example, Jace. Right. Hear me out on here, right? He would receive the ball in better positions. That way, our forwards didn't have to drop as far back to get the ball and maybe separate somebody into sort of an isolated area as much. We don't have that anymore. We're trying to find that with the players we have, but it's not here and it's not working. We've got to try to find a way, I think, to either, you know, play more triangles or whatever to sort of keep the ball together as a team because we're so scattered right now. And there was a time when I think Bellerin had the ball on the right-hand side and he was sort of looking around and nobody was coming to him. And everybody – Shaka was over at the left touchline. And he should – Shaka and Jack should have been right there, you know, in a couple of different positions closer to the ball. And we're not having that. And when you're having to drop deep like that and your midfield is receiving the ball so much deeper, that's when we're getting into these problems where I don't care if it's Lacazette. I don't care if it's Walcott's up top, if Sanchez is up top, if, you know, Giroud is up top. Whenever he comes back, they're always going to be isolated because everybody's having to receive the ball so deep, and they're trying to keep that back line sort of pushed back somewhere, so we have some space to break through their midfield and maybe create some uneven, you know, numbered chances against their back line. And it's really tough right now to be a striker at Arsenal because as good as a game as Jack had today, Shaka I think was probably one of our worst players on the pitch. And just, he's not distributing the ball, which is really what we bought him for. He's not really a defensive midfielder, although he likes to put a tackle in from time to time. That's not his thing. And I think positionally he's been all over the place this season. And I don't know if that's just from coaching or just from him not quite understanding where he needs to be and not grasping it. But there's a lot of problems with our midfield because as separated as we are from our forwards, our midfield's also just as separated from our defenders, which I think we saw today with that second goal.
Yeah, absolutely. But the first half ended. We go on, Ellis. Bournemouth start the second half on top. You know, there's a total disconnect between the top three, between the defence, etc. Okay, we've gone over that. And then we break. We break, okay? And there's a fantastic first-time ball from Wobi. You've got to give the boy credit. He's a lovely boy for Hector to run onto. And Hector, you know, opens his legs, galloping down the right-hand side, and he makes no mistake, 1-0 up. What had been a dire game, it was a fantastic moment for us, wasn't it?
Yeah, certainly. And like you say, and Bournemouth, they came out a bit more on top. They seemed to want to be pressing a bit more. They were sort of, they stood off us a bit in the second half. And I think they started to realise that if they pushed and pressed us a bit more, they could cause us to make a mistake. And they did. They came out a bit more, which gave us a bit more space to create more chances. And the way we picked up that ball. And like I said earlier, he has the ability to do that. And when he does do it, it looks great. And it was a first-time ball straight out to Hector Bellerin, who in defence of Hector Bellerin doesn't, well, not in defence, he doesn't really... push forward enough for me. That's what he's good at, and he should do it more often. But I suppose it is like we say, what we've mentioned previously, it's people not being in possession. And I can remember the point that Jason said when he was far up the pitch, he had the ball when he was wrestling it off whoever was defending for Bournemouth, but he didn't have any options, so he lost it again. So he gets the ball and he has a decision. He's got, I think, Welbeck and Lacazette were there where he could have maybe perhaps cut it off, but he had the ball to go himself, and it looked like perhaps I was going to make a save, but just bouncing kindly, and it was good for Hector, which apparently was his first ever away goal for Arsenal. But I'm pleased for him, and it shows when we do play well, we can create a good goal, and that was a good bit of movement. But unfortunately, after that, he didn't really see much more of it.
Well, Jace, you know, I mean, it was a fantastic goal. You know, it kind of reminded me of Arsenal of old. It was the first time a Wobi played a first time ball in the game as well. Which you know, got me excited. I thought, you know, this is the guy who we saw at the beginning of last season, you know, who is a talent and who can do it. And within a couple of minutes of the goal, we broke again. Those two interplay again. Unfortunately, Hector couldn't get the ball away. The Bournemouth defenders did a good job on him at that point, but. You saw the potency of when we do play on the break, and yet we didn't follow that up again. How frustrating is it that we don't follow up on really good players. You know, really good play, and you know, when we get some joy in an area.
Yeah, that's one of the most frustrating things. I will, and I know a lot of people are giving, you know, Czech a lot of crap today or whatever. I will say the one thing that Czech has gotten better at specifically this season is the early balls out to help us break. If you remember his first season and even last season, he would hold on to the ball, let us and the defense get organized and then punt it out. This game, he had sort of more early throws out of the box than I've ever remember seeing him have. So it was really good. The problem with that is, because these players are unsupported like this, even when we do see that, they're having to check their runs. It happened with Bellerin. But we saw the positivity from it. So I think the good thing is Czech is starting to recognize that and see how potent it is. The problem is it's just the decision making and the players that we have. I mean, it was, I think, the youngest team that Arsenal had sent out since like 2000. I forgot, like, you know, late 2000s, 2007, 8 or 9, something like that was the stat that I heard. And so decision making is going to be a little questionable. They're probably going to, you know, want to try to hold on to the ball as opposed to maybe try to play a through pass. But we saw what could happen when you let the game come to you. You don't try to force anything. You use your – and that's the one positive thing I like about Iwobi. It was just his reaction to that ball was to play it first time. And it went off like that. And I think that's where, like you said, that's the spark that we see in Iwobi. And maybe he's got a bit of the Theo Walcotts and he doesn't need to think as much. And it just needs to let the game come to him and react, because his reaction's probably the right choice there. And we saw that. You're right. It was a beautiful ball that we haven't seen in years.
Yeah.
And great finish as well by Bellerin. I know, you know, Begovic got a hand to it, but like, keep it low and hard and good things will happen.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, to be fair to Hector, you know, he did it. You know what I mean? He took care of it.
He's the highest Premier League scorer in 2018. Just gonna throw that out there.
That's bad, isn't it? Fucking hell. Way to keep it positive, Jace. Fucking hell.
on that note, to the chat box today, Darren Lewis is in there, Paul Alves, Mehdi. Yemi Flash, Sakino, Sakin Soja, Tayo Adelier, Cam, mentioned to me, Toby, Archie, Dean Robinson, 1983, who else? Cayman, 1867, Chris Jones. If I've missed you, I do apologize, but it's a big old chat box today. If you can give us a like, we'd really appreciate it. Give us a thumbs down if you think we're crap. It's fair enough. The guys, everybody gives up their time. And trust me, nobody, not one of us wanted to do this today. Not one of us wanted to do this today. It was, it's painful in a day like this. To that point, Bournemouth had a bit of joy on the right-hand side. Callum Chambers, a second really good clearance of the game. Bournemouth really came back at us, didn't they, Ellis?
Yeah, they did. Like I said, they started the half trying to push us, and they obviously saw maybe a perhaps weak link between our sort of defence and the midfield. And if they could push up, they could probably pick up a ball and have a good opportunity to create a goal. And yeah, are we coming on to the goal now or not? Or are we waiting a bit?
No. We wait for the goal. We won't talk about that bit then.
I'll hang on for there. But it was just a case of, like, they came on, they pushed us, and I do feel sorry for Chambers and Holding, because they are quite young. They don't have much protection from the midfield. The options, like we've mentioned, aren't there for them. It's got to be something down to the coaching. They're obviously not being coached enough in what situations to play the ball and how to get out of these situations. And it just comes to a rushed pass or a clearance that's not quite good enough. Or when they do pick up the ball, they sort of worry that, well, Jack is there, but he's marked, or someone's there, there's no movement from me, what am I going to do? So they just hoof it back, and it's just a case of, if you keep doing that, eventually the ball's going to just keep coming back towards you, and mistakes eventually will happen, and you'll concede a goal.
Yeah, Jay, the disconnect between the areas, the defence, midfield, and the attack, and the isolation of Lacazette, it means, translates into the fact, we don't keep the ball well. A lot of possession, but we're not effective with it. We don't keep it well, and we don't, you know, we had, we, we, we didn't create clear enough cut chances. We didn't support Lacazette. And Bournemouth just took advantage of that. And they were on to us. They were on to the second balls. And all of a sudden, they're the ones exerting pressure. You know, what you, I know we keep on harping on about it, but between Xhaka, Jack, Mustafi, Welbeck, Lacazette, there's enough caps, there's enough experience on that pitch where we we should have a bit of leadership and we should have direction.
Well, that's the problem, is experience doesn't equal leadership. And I think that's the, you know, that's the one thing this club is missing is on-field leadership. And pointing and shouting isn't necessarily leadership, but it's you set the example for the rest of your teammates by your play. You encourage them. You say, hey, maybe that's not the right ball. Maybe try this one next. We don't have any of that on the pitch. We just – everybody just goes through and says, well, I'm going to do my job. And if he doesn't do his job, oh, well. But if he doesn't do his job, oh, well. But I'm going to do my job, and hopefully everything will be fine. And instead of trying to – you know, in times like this, you know, we used to have people who – held each other accountable, and you know, with the Invincibles, you knew if you made the mistake, you were going to hear about it, not from one person, but from multiple players on the pitch. And we haven't had that in a long time, and I think now is probably when we lack it the most out of all these years, because we've got a lot of good, talented players. They've got a lot of experience, but they're all very nice players, and they're all very nice people and cool. But sometimes we just need a cunt on the field who's going to get in somebody's craw and piss you off enough to not make the same mistake. And we haven't had that in a very long time. And we continue to see the same. It's deja vu, Groundhog Day, whatever other, you know, analogies you want to use for it that we've used umpteen times now in the last 8 or 9 years that, it's not good enough from a leadership standpoint. And that a lot of that comes from the manager as well. You know, you got to bring in players who are leaders, and just because you captained a club in Germany when you were 23, doesn't mean that you're going to be a leader on the team when you come in like Xhaka. And I think we're seeing that as well, because his form's been so bad that he's just, he's scared to tell anybody else what to do, much less, you know, it come back on him all the time because he's making so many mistakes. And it's really unfortunate to see a club that used to have, you know, 11 leaders on the pitch, not even carry a leader out of 17 on an away trip.
Yeah.
18, right. Sorry.
Let's get to the goal. go on. Make my day, talk me. I got work tomorrow. Yeah, that's not bad enough, you know. I gotta sit through, first of all, I gotta sit through watching this crap. Okay. You know, and then we gotta do this. And then I got work tomorrow.
Yeah, mate.
Tomorrow. Go on.
Well, I thought it was a brilliant no. It was just the cross was the I'll give credit to the cross. The cross was a good – I don't know who it put the ball in, but it put a good cross in. But the fact that there are four players around him, not one of them managed to close that cross down, and Chambers didn't manage to cut across and stop Wilson, and Cech was a bit slow off his line, but that's fair play. He's getting on a bit now. He's not going to be that fast. And it's just frustrating. Kyle put a picture in our WhatsApp chat, and it was just infuriating. You've literally got, is it Fraser you said who put the ball in, stood there about to cross in, and you've got, I think it's Aisy Maitland-Niles, Xhaka, Mustafi, and Iwobi all sort of just in the area, doing that typical Arsenal player thing of being close enough to look like you're defending, but not actually defending or affecting the ball going in at all. And it is just infuriating. And again, like, I will try and slightly defend Chambers. He is young. He's going to make mistakes. It's not helpful for him when there are players in front of him not doing their job either and not stopping the cross. Yes, he should have got there and tried to get in front of him. He's not always going to move. Mistakes are the main reason behind most goals. People are going to mistakes, fair play. But it's just criminal to have that many players around the person who's putting the ball into the box and not even just stop it or even put him off slightly to let him able to put a ball in like that. It's just infuriating is the word that I'm thinking
of. The other problem, so I will that little piece of play, the little ball sort of over the top of everybody's head, I think caught everybody by surprise. And while we definitely need to do better, I can see why they were caught off guard a little bit from it. The other problem is, where are your center backs?
Well, Mustafi's come out to fucking there, hasn't he, to try and stop that, even though there's another three players there.
I think that was Chambers. And you just look back, like, where – why – and in the commentary we had over here, they were talking about the only reason Cech would probably come out for that is because he has a complete lack of faith in his center backs. Only reason why you come out for a ball that far out.
That's a difficult ball coming there. It's always a horrible one for a keeper because you never know where to come or stay. And sometimes that split second you decide, think, right, I should come for that. It's too late. And
our center, and I'm not taking blame away from Cech. You do come out like that. I thought he should have gotten the ball 100%, and he didn't. The problem is he should never have been put in a position by his center backs to have to make that. And it was, again, schoolboy defending of everybody chasing the ball. And you talk about, people are going to make mistakes, Ellis, but we continue to make the same mistakes. Mm. That's our problem, is we're making the same mistakes. Yeah. It's not like somebody's slipping on the ground and falling. No, it's a lot of positional and discipline mistakes. We continue to make them over and over.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's
guys, first point on this now, okay? Fantastic ball, okay? Holding Mustafi, Ainsley Maitland-Niles, and I think it was Jack were over there, should have done better. They should have nipped that in the bud at source. Okay, when you look at Callum Wilson's got bags and bags of pace. He simply outpaced Chambers. Maybe Chambers should have gone on the angle. I think, you'd have to look at that in more detail, look at it in more technical detail than that, okay? But again, it's great play from Bournemouth. And we just cannot seem to get a structure in place where we're covering these crosses coming in, can we?
No, and that is what is so frustrating for everyone. And the mistakes that obviously Jason's highlighting is the fact it's positional. It is Mustafi, he has his critics. I can be a critical of him. I'm not sure if he's going to come good or if he's going to sort of do over Marlin. He rushes out, and he's done it there. He's rushed out of position. He can do it again. He'll rush out of position to try and make a tackle, and he's left exposed. He's not old, but of the three centre-backs we've got there, Holding, Chambers and Mustafi, he's the oldest one there. He should be taking charge of that. He should be leading them. He's not. He's rushed out of position. He's left Chambers to it. And let's be honest, like you said, he's not the fastest. Neither him or Holding are particularly fast on the ground, and Wilson is pretty rapid. And he's completely ditched him there and left him to it. And he should be doing better than that. He is the guy that should be taking charge of that back three when there's a back three there, and he's not.
That's fair comment. But again, you look at it, too younger. We don't have a centre half of the club who is able to do that at the moment. Koscielny doesn't do it. It's the same things that happen time and time again. So you have to look at the coaching again.
Yeah.
Still, we're playing and the coaching, and it boils down to that. We're going to go into the second goal, Jay. Substitution: Chambers comes off, we go to a back four, Ramsey comes on. Third roll. Within 30 seconds of that change, Iba's banged on at the back of the net. The midfield not protecting the defense. Xhaka's just standing there. Talk me through it.
It's just 20 yards in between your two deepest sitting midfielders and a back line. Nobody picking up the run from midfield of Ibe. And a lot of people are blaming Cech for this. And while yes, he has regressed, a ball that hard and low to the ground is extremely difficult for a keeper to get to. And so I'm not going to completely blame him. He should have done better, but it's still a difficult ball. Again, we're just we continue to make these naive mistakes that other teams as big as Arsenal, I don't see them make. Maybe Liverpool, but they have the creative ability to go and create goals, which we didn't see today. So they sort of get away with it more than we do. It's a lack of discipline. It's an extremely naive from our midfield to just think that the defense has it. And then, of course, it's just nobody picking up and seeing a run for a midfield. And when we continue to not train on being more solid defensively, I don't see how we can expect anything else from this team, no matter what defenders we have in there. You could pull the entirety of the Italian back three in there. You give them the same sort of coaching and lack of sort of midfield support that they have, and they're going to concede goals almost like we do probably. And so it's extremely, extremely frustrating because, and Jace, and you know, you've said it on here before. You know, I've said it. People who host this, we try not to make this about the manager. We really do. It's getting more and more difficult because the players have changed, the systems have changed, but it's all. But the one consistent is the manager and how he goes about setting up this team. And it hasn't been good enough since about 2008, and it's continued to decline. And we're a team that is – we're allowing one man's stubbornness to not only affect our results in the moment, but affect our long-term viability as a top club in Europe. Because now if they continue to see the same things happening again and again, who wants to come in and play with us? Who wants to – especially a defender, if you know – I mean – we're going to continue to make the same mistakes as long as this manager is in charge. And we don't, we're not, obviously we don't want to make this just an all, you know, Wenger out sort of, we're going to
stop for a second.
I don't know what you're going to say.
Nicholas Wallenlund. Mate, how fucking sad are you? You've got to come in here for your jollies today. Go fuck yourself, you arsehole. Take care. Goodbye. Ta-ta. Honesty, it's just.
Let's know what we're saying now. You're completely throwing him off track.
At least Jace is defending our chat box better than we can defend our own 18.
But yeah, you've hit the nail on the head, Shreds. We try so hard not to bring it down, but it's the same case. But people have mentioned the chat box. We've been defending like this for years, but
we
used to get away with it, like you mentioned, with Liverpool because we'd score more. But now it just seems like. Our identity has just deteriorated. The squad management hasn't been great. And I don't know how bad it's going to get before eventually the board makes a decision. But who knows? Who knows what's going on? One Arsene Wenger.
Oh, yeah, there you go. So a 2-1 down. And we give it a go at coming back into it. But again... it's more pissy-passy. We're not direct enough. We don't seem to support players in possession well enough. You know, it was kind of painful to watch. You know, we had all this possession and we had no penetration on it. I mean, how frustrating was the last sort of 5-10 minutes of the game?
Oh, just as frustrating as the rest of the game, really, to be honest. It is a case of just... We haven't got enough creativity about us to break it down. We bring on Theo Walcott, who just decided to come on and be offside constantly. And it's just good luck to him when he goes to Everton.
Stop for a second now, okay? You know, if you look at Theo Walcott, this is my big thing at the moment. Okay? If you look at Theo Walcott, what's his main attribute? Pace. Mm-hmm. So put a ball in over the top for him to chase. Did we do that at any one point?
A couple of times, and he was offside.
No. Yeah, but yeah, come on. It was telegraphed to people, so they play the away, the offside trap. You know, this is the thing, okay, you know? It's a case of we're not playing to our players' strengths.
Still, I think even if we did try it, he'd probably still be offside because it's Phil Walker. Ever since he had his ACL, he's lost a bit of pace and his runs aren't clever enough for me. But that's another thing. We'll go back to the question. It is just poor. Like you say, we're not making the right decisions. We're not playing to players' strengths. And it's just the case of Arsenal at the moment. Like, that is why our creativity has suffered so much. You can go back to Lacazette. We're not playing to his strengths. He's so isolated. He has to come deep and try and win the ball. It's just, again, like you say, Jason, it all boils down to coaching. It's boring to say because we keep fucking repeating ourselves. But I just want something different to come along and then have something else to moan about or like something to cheer about. It's just the case of this is going to keep happening. Regardless, if we're not getting the right coaching in, or if we haven't got the right players in the right position, or if we don't start playing to the players' strengths that they've got, it's just a vicious circle, and it's not going to get much better. The most frustrating thing is, we've just come out against that Capital One Cup against Chelsea, played well defensively, and then we go and play like this defensively against like Bournemouth. Yeah. You'd think that you'd build from that performance. Obviously, you've lost to Norton Forest.
Consistency and performance is down to proper management, not individual players. That's the issue.
The thing is, as well, there's no more beautiful football either, is there?
No. Identity at all. We ain't got it at all.
Yeah. By the way, the chat box is going off. The Ox scored against Man City. It's been equalised now. But let's be honest, he scored a couple of thunderbolts for us, but was shit for majority of his career.
So he's got about what, 3 more goals left in his Liverpool career?
Yeah. Here's a question, guys. Do you want Liverpool to win today?
All right. No. I hope they get humped.
So who do you think is going to beat Man City to stop them from being invincible? Because it ain't going to be us, the way we're playing.
Bournemouth.
I couldn't get
Bournemouth. Yeah, Bournemouth are really good. They're a quality team, and they all beat Man City.
I couldn't give a monkey's. I really couldn't. You know, what will happen in City will happen with them. They're playing some great football.
So you wouldn't mind if they went unbeaten for the season?
No, it would annoy me. It would annoy me, but, you know, it's one of those things. I would not like it because, again, it's something that, you know, we can always bring up and, yeah, but we've gone, you know, we're invincible, you're not, so go screw yourselves. But the bottom line is, you know, it's one of those things. I hate Liverpool far more than I hate Man City, you know.
It's fair enough.
It's one of those. So that was the game. To be honest, the performance was pathetic. It was dog shit. What are your final thoughts on it? Jace, I'll go to you first, and then let's go.
Yeah.
Luapola. You can go fuck yourself as well. Carl's on it. Tell you what is it with these people? Are they so sad? Why are they so sad? It's just nuts. Carl Walker, by the way, you're doing a sterling job in there, son. Sorry, Jake, go again.
No, he's not. He's trying to get me blocked.
You probably deserve it.
Probably do. Fuck you, Carl.
No, I think right now what we're seeing is we're playing like the sixth or seventh best team in England. We're being managed like the sixth or seventh best team in England. So why should we expect anything else? And this is our lot at the moment. And nothing's going to change until people at the board start to sort of maybe wake up. And I hope they – I said in the past that Wenger should be able to leave on his own terms. And he's making it real hard for me to continue to say that. Really hard because you – yeah, he hasn't been on the touchdown, but you look at shots of him in the stands now, and the man just looks absolutely lost of ideas, just continuing. Yeah, he changed us to three at the back, and now for some reason he's sticking with it when I think everybody is saying, like, well, now our players don't suit that, aren't suited to that formation. Now he doesn't want to change from it, and it's just – and, yeah, Arsene, I get it. Like, I don't have 30 years of experience, but – I watch a lot of football as well, and the problem is we may not all individually have the same experience that you do, but I think if you look around at what your fans are saying to you, it's all consistently the same message, and why you can't sort of seem to understand that and want to at least maybe talk to other, you know, managers and get, you know, talk to your you know, talk to a David Dean, talk to your mentors and see what you could do instead of just trying to do the same things over and over again, because these results happen over and over and over again. And it makes it really difficult to, you know, to keep interest in the club. I've read less about Arsenal. I've listened to less podcasts about it because it's all the same thing. And I've heard it. I started to hear it in 2012, 2013, and it's not enjoyable anymore. And I'm going to still watch the club and support the club because I'm a fan and I'm not a fair weather fan. But I'm also going to voice my opinions on about what needs to change. And right now, the biggest change that we need to see to stop losing 2-1 away to Bournemouth is a change in manager. Rant over.
No, absolutely. Who was it? Sorry, I do remember. Somebody's put in here. Oh, where is it? Carpenter out. I love that. I love that. I love this chat box.
I'd rather Carpenter be imagining right now.
I don't know. I tell you, the Pirates have been humped more times than we have this season. Ellis, your final thoughts on the game?
We got what we deserved, really. We weren't good enough. I'm not going to go on a massive rant like Jace, but I will point out that we're probably only a sixth because we're only slightly better than Burnley. That's right, Burnley.
Yeah, it is frustrating, isn't it? I mean, when you look at the size of the club, the financial capabilities of the club, and you hear Arsene Wenger, you know, say things like, you know, there are no players out there who'll come in and improve us. You know, that's a nonsense. And unfortunately, I mean, you know, I don't buy this nonsense of people saying, oh, Wenger's never been great. Of course he was. When he first came in, 97. You know, I remember when, you know, winning the title at Goodison Park against Everton. And the football we played that season was revolutionary. It was superb, okay? But as time's gone on, the beautiful football has gone. The ideas have gone. The development of players has stopped. You know, because he did used to develop players because they didn't do it on their own, you know. He's 70 years of age. You know, that has a part to play in it. As you get older, you're not as sharp as you were in your younger days. And that's the truth of the matter. Okay? You know, he's gone stale. He can't find a way out for us. And this is affecting us. And, you know, God knows I love Arsene Wenger. I'll always love Arsene Wenger. But, it's time for us to move on as a club, because performances like this are just becoming more and more regular, you know? He looks ill. He looked unhappy. You know, Lacazette looked unhappy today. You know, how many of our players look unhappy on the pitch? You know, and this is the thing. There used to be joy in our team. There used to be a grit. There used to be determination to win. And that seems to have gone. And, you know, you have to look. That comes from the manager. If he's not going to even refresh his coaching team, there's no hope of refreshing the football we play. But, you know, it goes down the line. It's a domino effect, you know. Arsene Wenger was a great manager. Let's make no bones about it. You may not like him anymore, but he was one of the greatest managers, you know, the Premier League's ever seen, you know. You don't go season unbeaten. You know, nobody else has done it. Not Ferguson, not Mourinho. Pep may well do it, okay, and that's fine. But at this moment in time, he is not the man to take the club forward. And that's a sad fact. Right. Soapbox. Let's go to some questions. That's so sad today. It's pathetic. I'm going to start with you, Jace.
All right.
How long do we have to go before the board have to sack him?
Until our profit margin drops below 4% of what the annual growth rate has been.
Do you know what? I think that's a pretty good answer.
It's not going to be anything on the pitch that it has to do with, obviously. So it's got to be financial.
I love it. That is a perfect answer.
Well played. Yeah, it was. from Kyle Palmer. Good luck with the pod after this performance. No doubt I'll come up with a question if I can. Cheers, Kyle. You're top man. Last season was arguably our worst since Wenger took over. This season looks to be even worse than that. Take in terms of action on the pitch for him to leave, and can you see it happening this season, Ellis?
Oh, damn it. it's so hard, like, because this board seems to be able to take anything, and like what Jason said, as long as they're getting a profit, they'll be happy. But I think if we, I can see, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but if we manage to win the League Cup or Europa and we still have a stinker and we still finish sixth in the league, I can see him still staying on for another year, regardless of how bad our performances are, because they'll just sort of throw that out and say, well, we won a cup. But so if we don't win anything, we still finish sixth and the performance is that bad, I think possibly it won't be a case of the board pushing him out. I think he may walk.
Really?
Because it's just some of the stuff that he's saying in press conferences and the way he talks, it just seems like he's getting a bit frustrated with how the boards are trying to change things. Obviously, Space Gazidis is trying to implement more stuff. There's more sort of power being taken away from him. And that is something that's naturally got to happen anyway, because if he is going to leave at the end of his contract 2 years, I know he will always insist he'll go to the end of the contract. But I think personally, him as a person, if it gets that bad, I think he'd have to walk. I think it'd take a lot, I think, to damage his confidence that much, because he has got a lot of self-confidence in him. I'll give him that. I just don't think the board would force him out ever, really, unless it was a case like Shred said, the profit was that bad.
Yeah, I mean, I look at it and I think, you know, you can't. I know we won the FA Cup last season, and you know, performances are magnificent. But you know, when you put so much value in finishing top four and being in the Champions League every season, when you don't make it, when you're playing as badly as we are at the moment, and there's only one win, you know, since Christmas. We weren't great before that. Let's be fair. When you're not producing, understand, and you take the moral high ground and to say, you know, what does a director of football do, or you know, or to, you know, make snidey little comments about the new employees who've come in the background, Mislintat and I can't remember the other guy's name, producing on the pitch. And you have to be winning games for you to put yourself in a position to be able to do that. And, you know, it's the one thing, you know, that the club have got wrong over the years. They haven't challenged Arsene Wenger. They've, you know, where they gave him that power. You know, not replacing David Dean adequately, not, you know, not bringing people in to actually challenge him and to, you know, to make him become better. Or to, you know, that's part of the problem. And so, you know, it's a real melee where we've let the club get into this situation. And unfortunately, you know, it was Dean who brought Kronk. It was Dean who brought Usmanov into the club. You know, he's as responsible for this as anybody else. And that's the sad fact. Jay, Frank Gunner asks, why are we so bad away from home?
Because our mommies aren't there to tuck us in at night. Does that suffice?
No. Let's
because
be
we're soft. We're soft. No, we're soft. That's why we're soft. No.
Cool. Okay.
That's it. We're
that
soft.
All?
No. I mean, there's more to. There's obviously a little more to it. The teams are going to try to sort of get under our skin a little bit more when they're at their place, just like we would when we had big matches and you know, teams that were above us come in, we try to get under their skin a little bit. They're able to do that with us, and we don't respond at all, especially on the road. We have, you know, let's not act like it's the away support. Our away supporters are 100% one of the best parts of our club right now, because they are out there singing game in, game out with these god-awful performances put in front of them, and our players do not respond to that on the road at all. We've seen them slightly respond to it at home, but on the road we're soft. If everything doesn't go perfectly our way, we crumble. And I don't, the ball is the same size, the pitch has to be within a certain parameter, you know what you're going to get. But we're soft. That's why you don't win away from home. It's not tactical. It's not anything like that. It's soft. We're soft.
It probably is tactical because our tactics is shit.
But we use the same tactics. So we use the same people like, we're not, this season we haven't been great at home either. So
we still lose
like,
at home though,
just,
don't we?
Yeah, exactly. So it's not just tactics. It's all about sort of our mental sort of frame of mind going into those games, and we're soft.
I think it's possibly because the other team have a good home support.
Yeah.
Like, let's not make any jokes. Our home support isn't great. So their team are already up for it anyway because they're the home team. And whatever you may say, referees do tend to sometimes lean towards decisions towards the home team a lot just because of the amount of shit they get, the amount of voices that are coming at them when they make a bad decision. So I think that plays a factor as well.
To be honest with you, mate, the WBA game, yeah, that penalty was never a penalty, but we're struggling. You know, we're struggling against Bournemouth today. We're, you know, towards the bottom of the table, and we've struggled. You know, we struggled against Palace, and you know they were coming back strong at us at the end. You know, these aren't exactly the Barcelonas and Bayern Munichs of this world, and you know, yes, the referee will influence certain games. It didn't influence it today.
No.
Ellis, question for you from Jeffrey O'Hara. Czech arguably at fault for both goals. Do we look to replace him in the summer?
I disagree with that. I mean, I know he's quite slow on the first one. I wouldn't blame him for the second one too much. So I think I'd probably blame Xhaka for the tracking there for the player. But yeah, I think he is getting on. And yes, we do need to look at what's coming in after him, but a lot of it is down to the defence and midfield in front of him. Like, I don't think his performances have deteriorated that much since he was at Chelsea, but then you look at the players that he had in front of him there. I mean, he's probably got less, like, he got a lot slower. His reactions are probably less. It's just the way that happens when you get older. But it's just frustrating talking about checking who comes in after him. Because
supposedly there's this great backup at Juventus.
Yeah,
there you go. Great backup at Juventus we could get. I don't know if you guys have heard of him.
I don't know.
Polish kid.
Let's not open that.
No. You know, and I've been funny. It's akin to, I tell you what, I've got four cars. I'm going to sell the Porsche for 20 quid. I'm going to keep the 40-year-old Mercedes. I've got a Ford Fiesta, which doesn't always run that great as backup. And I got a kit car, which could be really good, but I'm going to loan that to my sister. For fuck's sake. Honestly. Jeffrey O'Hara again, Jace. Why does Hector Bellerin never seem to deliver a cross like the one for Bournemouth's goal? Lacazette would thrive on service like that.
Because throughout his career, Bellerin has relied on his pace and not his actual technical ability, which he does have some. But I think that's the problem, is he's had to rely on his pace to just sort of push the ball past players and then sort of do a simple layoff on the ground. I don't think he's actually trained a ton on crossing. I think his first year he had some decent crosses, but it's definitely been downhill since then. But I think not enough time on the training pitch practicing it. And maybe that's being coached into him. Maybe they're saying, we don't want you to cross the ball. We want our crosses to come in from a different side. But yeah, it baffles me because he does tend to hit the first man a lot. So you'd think he would be able to at least make a move and go around somebody and be able to play a ball in, but doesn't seem like that. So sadly, it's first man a lot. But I think it's the way we play, and then the way he has sort of developed is where he just wants to use the speed to go past players and then do a simple layoff.
Yeah, if you look at most of our play, you know, in the opponent's half. Gone, you know, not often we see the counter-attacking that got us the goal today. A lot of it is all this pissy-passy, let's pass it back inside. We don't hit those bylines enough. We don't whip crosses in to scare. You know, nothing terrifies the defence like those balls coming in. You know, they've got to deal with it somehow. We didn't deal with that today.
Yeah, at least get to the byline. He doesn't even do that. He loves to give the ball away just at the edge of the 18 and then sort of drop back or stay there and just maybe play it back. But yeah, no, getting to the byline would I think, especially with Lacazette in the middle, would be great.
Sakin Soj says, Wenger doesn't develop players. I think players like Henry just had innate ability and were the exception. Well, there were a lot of those, you know. I disagree with that. You know, Wenger has developed players. There was, you know, Vieira came through, Ashley Cole came through, you know. There's been a lot of them over the years, you know. Is he doing it now? No, I don't think he is doing it now. I think, you know, we're not seeing players develop well. You know, Maitland-Niles today, he was poor at times and he was great at other times. But, you know, the boy has a superb ability, you know. But to a job, which is a really big ask of a young guy without any experience of playing left back. So it's a poison chalice for poor Maitland-Niles. So no, I don't think Wenger is developing him anymore, but you know, don't tarnish what the man has done. The man's had achievements. You can't take those away from him. You can never take those league titles, the doubles, the FA Cups away from him. But going forward, is he the one for the job? No, he's not. Ellis.
Hello.
On Twitter, @SweetArse asks, says, when you're done talking about the defence as usual, the defensive areas as usual, maybe it's time for us to spend some money. Look what we got up front in Welbeck. You know, Arsene Wenger puts an awful lot of faith in Danny Welbeck. But he's not the most gifted goal scorer. We should be. If you look at the money being spent in the Premier League on attacking players, why aren't we going for those players?
I couldn't tell you why we're not going for those players. Again, it's another frustrating element.
Because we have Danny Welbeck.
But Danny Welbeck, it reminds me of Bambi on ice. He is just so clumsy. His finishing isn't great. I like the guy because he puts in a lot of effort, but really his quality isn't there. He's not a good finisher. We can definitely improve on Danny Welbeck. But we haven't. I don't know why we're not gone for it. There's glaring areas in our team that have been left unchanged or not improved on, and it happens season upon season. And the wings is one for me that it hasn't been improved. Obviously, we had Sanchez. Then we've changed this sort of formation where the wingers aren't more used. It's more wing backs. But now we've sort of reverted back to a 4-3-3 at times as well, which we've all been crying out for. And it's just, we haven't really got the players for that. Like you said, Fear Walcott can be a good winger or could be a good winger, but we're not playing to his strengths. I don't know why. The answer to the question, I don't know why we're not spending money on that. Other clubs seem to be able to do it. Other clubs seem to be able to identify targets and throw whatever money at the club that have the player that they want. Us, on the other hand, we're just trying to like lowball them and then try and build up the bid, and then a better team or a better off team may come with a bigger offer, or the other club just gets fucked off of us and stops doing business with us.
it seems as though the dithering over the years has cost us big time, doesn't it? The dithering and from Arsene Wenger on whether he wants to sign players, you know, and his faith in players. Who's the guy who's at who went to Real Madrid from Liverpool then to Bayern Munich? Alonso.
Oh yeah.
Not buying Xabi Alonso for £4 million because it would kill Danielson's career. Sakes.
And the Cahill when he was at Bolton. Really? Ages.
Yeah. No, that was Dick Law, wasn't it? That was Dick Law, you know. And that's the problem, you know. Throughout the club, there's been this sort of malaise. Jay, why do our players hold on to the ball for... Oh, it's from Carl Walker as well. Why do our players hold on to the ball for so long instead of releasing it?
A couple of things. Probably one, most of our players probably out of position, so they're having to try to get into a better position to find the right lane. And then two, lack of trust that said player who will receive the ball will do anything worthwhile with it.
Fair enough. 1867, I'll still answer this when we're going to wrap this up. Is this the worst team under Wenger? It is for me, he says.
No, it's not. There was a game we started in the league. There's a game we started in the league a few years ago with Santos at right back, Benayoun on the left, Arshavin, Shamak, Squilacci, Giroud, Vermaelen. Like, come on.
Well, the 8-2 against Man United, that was a pretty shocking team.
Yeah, that team was terrible as well. But I don't think this is the worst team, no.
I think he's looking at the squad. It is for me. If you look at our results recently,
we've got
a bottom of the table teams and we're losing. I'm not just here to there.
I think we have more talent in this team. We're just not executing. We've all seen the talent that we have. I think we have the talent to be top four. I'm not saying we push for the title or anything like that. Even if City weren't running away with it, I don't think we'd be pushing for the title. We have the talent in our team, I think, to push to top four. We're not executing well. We're undisciplined in our play. We're unmotivated at times. That's the big issue. But you look at that team that was starting Squilacci and Giroud. I would much rather have Holding, Chambers, and Mustafi all damn day of the week. Day of the week. I don't think this is our worst team. I think we're playing worse than our teams that were bad were. I think at that time, Wenger was overachieving with what he had. Now, though, he's certainly underachieving.
In terms 100%. Of results, definitely it's our worst team. But in terms of what we have on paper in our squad, I say it's not. I think we're better than the sum of our parts at the moment. But like everything that Jason just highlighted is why we're doing, like, when you look, you see the people like posting photos of squads in the banter era, and you look at the teams that we played in the Champions League. Fuck me.
We have had
a lot of worse players at this. We are just underperforming chronically because there is something seriously wrong with the way we're being coached, the way we're managed, and it's just all come to a head in this season.
I do want to hear why, Jace, like what in your opinion makes, other than just the results, like why do you feel that this team is worse than those teams?
We're playing with no confidence. There's a lack of leadership in the team, you know. And for as well as Jack played today, he's and he does dig people out, you know. He's mm-hmm. that little terrier around the place. Take players with him. I think there's a lack of leaders. If you look at our captain in Koscielny, okay, Koscielny's not a leader on the pitch, okay? He leads by example in what he does.
Yeah.
You know, he's coming towards the end of his career. We got, you know, there's no spine to the team anymore. Whereas we used to have a spine to the team. I don't see that spine to the team, you know. Ramsey's not a leader, you know, in being able to drag people with them. He'll lead by example. You know, all these players are the same. Also with the shenanigans around Ozil and Sanchez's contracts, you know, Ozil's been quite decent this year. I thought sensational over Christmas, by far our best player of the Christmas period. Once away, he can't wait to get out of here. There's a real negativity at the moment, and we seem absolutely we're devoid of confidence and of resilience, and that makes me think it's our worst team ever. And even with Mezet and with Sanchez and the team, you know, we have underperformed. You know, for all people say, oh, Sanchez is a winner. Sanchez got chucked out of Barcelona. You know, we had him because Barcelona wanted rid. Okay. So if he's such a winner, he'd have made it at Barcelona. He'd have really made it at Barcelona. Well,
And if he was such a winner, wouldn't he have lifted us more than he did? Wasn't that the whole reason for him coming to us as well? He got shipped out. And he said, "I want to go to a team where I can be the guy," and he was the guy. And what did it get us? So get the fuck out. Have a good day.
Exactly. And you know, Sanchez and Ozil both went missing against Bayern last season. Last season, wasn't it? They both went missing, you know. You know, all these things happen. And, you know, I just think, you know, we're so self-destructing inside. And, you know, we've got to be more proactive. We've got to bring players in to improve the squad. And, you know, of course there are players better than Danny Welbeck out there. You know, you know, you can improve on every single position in our team. You know, but and until we have, you know, the leadership from the manager, you know, to do that, you know, it's not going to change.
Yeah, I will say our good friend Lord Hill Wood in the chat puts a good point that we're those buys were also opportunist. The both of those players fell to us. It's not like we went out and. out and actively pursued them and then turned their heads. So another good point there.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, to everyone in the chat box, there have been too many of you to mention everyone. Thank you very much. Thank you for being part of it. It's other than a couple of arseholes, it's been a really good chat box tonight. Ellis, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for turning up.
Oh, you're welcome. Did you say something? Because you broke up, so I didn't know if you were talking to me.
Oh, sorry. I'm just saying thank you for turning up today. After that shower of shit, I didn't want to do this.
No, you're welcome. It would be a pleasure. Actually, no, it has been a pleasure. Fuck the result. It's just been good to talk about Arsenal and moan and just get all these feelings off my chest.
Oh, therapy.
Bit of therapy.
Yeah, cheers. Cheers, pal. Always fun. Glad I'm able to do a little bit more of these here in the second half of the year. So looking forward to it. Hopefully I don't become the new Jonah. I'm not even sure if John's a Jonah. We just keep losing because we're Arsenal.
We lose because we're shit.
We lose because we're garbage and not because someone's shit beard is gracing the radio waves here.
Absolutely. Our next podcast will be out on Thursday as normal. Next radio show is Saturday after Palace at home. 3 o'clock kickoff, so we'll be live for 10 minutes after the Palace game. Will it be a win? Will it be another loss? Who knows? To everyone in the chat box, thank you very much. West London Goon, you're always superb. Take care. Let's keep it Arsenal.
But not this Arsenal, the old Arsenal. Not this. So don't keep it this Arsenal. Keep it the old Arsenal.
Not the really old Arsenal shit. The slightly old Arsenal was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or maybe even the invincible Arsenal.